Okay. You good?
Yeah, if you pray.
Okay, everyone. Good to see you all again. How's the book been going? You're reading? Good. Well, let's pray and ask the Lord to bless our time together, and we'll get into the Word. Heavenly Father, we just are so thankful for you, so thankful for your Word that is guiding us and leading us through life. And we're thankful for the time that you've blessed us with to gather together. What a blessing it is to study and to learn more about you. And we ask, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, that you continue to reveal these truths to us, these spiritual truths that you have set in motion in life, Lord. All of these things that you know and have knowledge of, Lord, and you're now opening our eyes to see and giving us understanding by your Spirit. Lord, your Word tells us that the world cannot understand these things. The eye has not seen, the ear has not heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has for us, but you have revealed them to us by your Spirit. And so our prayer tonight, Lord, is that you would speak to us once again, speak through Pastor Bert as he shares with us from the Word, and through this book and workbook, Lord, use it to help us to grow and continue to add to our faith. We love you, Lord, and pray for a blessing tonight as we study your Word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Buenas noches. Everybody doing okay?
Yes.
I just want to tell you something that is going to encourage you, I hope. Talking to my friend in Costa Rica, he's the pastor of Calvary Chapel there near San Jose, the capital. And I sent him some pictures. Pastor Jeff took some pictures the first day. And we pray for one another. And I said, hey, pray for us. We're doing this basic theology class. And they said, man, that's amazing, and da-da-da. And out of that conversation came this idea that they want to do this as a church. But he says, yeah, it's difficult to get the book. I go, like, if you give us enough time, we can actually, and I'm not saying you guys, okay? I'm just putting this out there. I said, we can probably put this out to the church and see if anybody from the church would like to sponsor one of the brothers down there with the book. Because we're going in July to the pastor's conference there. And wouldn't that be amazing that we can take a bunch of books for them so they can do this same thing? And then I was talking to another friend of mine who is a pastor in one of the Calvary chapels, one of the missionaries that we support as a church in Guerrero, and he said, why don't we have a pastor's conference and we can go through this whole thing? I'm telling you, this is not something that people have access to, this particularly the book. I know that when I was in Panama, I did it, but I actually took page by page, made copies of it to give to people because it was very difficult to get the book. And so, just a little bit to encourage you that God is doing something with this. Amen? So, here we are, Basic Theology, page. What page are we? 58. Thank you, Señor Jefe. The Triunity of God. We all had a chance to read through it. Not many pages, yeah? Just like a few of those pages. Well, I'm just going to read a couple of things, and basically what I did, I grabbed some of these things and I put it on a PowerPoint so that everybody can see it. Even if you didn't have a chance to read the book, I pulled some of that, most of this stuff, and put it here so you can see it on the screen. But just in the very beginning, the very first paragraph, where it says, Trinity is, of course, not a biblical word. You're going to have conversations with people, particularly those who refuse to believe, or they want to make excuses for not believing, and they're going to tell you, I'm not a Christian because you guys talk about a Trinity and the Word's not even in the Bible. Have you heard any of that? Foolish excuse anyway, but they use a lot. And I'm going to give you a couple of things on how to address some of those issues because, like it says here, not a biblical word. Then towards the end of that first paragraph, nevertheless, actually the last couple of lines there, nevertheless, the doctrine grows out of the Scripture, so it is a biblical teaching. When somebody asks you, I don't believe in the Trinity because the Word is not even in the Bible, then you can ask, but is the teaching of the Trinity in the Bible, yes or no? And when they are, well, even though the Word is not in the Bible, the teaching about the Trinity grows out of the Scriptures. So when somebody tells me I don't believe in the Bible because the Trinity is not in the Bible, that tells me you never had time to read the Bible. And so that's just a couple of things there. The contribution of the Old Testament, I mean, that's, you guys went through that. There are persons in the Godhead. And then the unity of God. We know that Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, which is Judaism, basic confession of faith, teaches the unity of God. And there are several ways to translate that in the basically the third paragraph. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. And so forth. It implies oneness. And that's a really good thing to remember, because that goes against polytheism. You know, people that believe in many gods. Which, by the way, if you have a conversation with somebody who believes in Islam, ask them, and they will tell you that they believe in one God. And that the God they believe in is Allah. And ask him, where did Allah came from? And he's going to tell you that he's one of many gods, but he was the superior God. So then says, then you can ask them, well, then I thought you said you believe in one God. And so they don't know how to get out of that one. The last portion of that page, plural words, and we're going to get into that, like I said. I'm not going to elaborate on that particular point. But we have Elohim, which we are familiar with in the book of Genesis. Amen? And those things, again, I'm not going to elaborate in any of those books, in any of those things, because I have that in the screen. So here's what we're going to do. We're just going to go through this. Don't worry about taking notes or all that stuff, because all of that came from the book. Some words, more words or less words, but it's pretty much everything that you're going to see there. So don't worry about it. And then at the end, if anybody wants a copy of those things, I can definitely make you one, but you really don't need it because you have it all in the book. So the Trinity, from Scripture, we learn that God by nature is a triune being or a Trinity. We learn that from the Bible. All doctrine must come from the Bible. And that's the next one here. Never get in an argument with anybody about something that is not in the Bible. Anybody that has a question or questions anything about your faith, the first thing you want to do is show me where that question is coming from the Bible. If they don't have a point in the Bible where they are basing their question, don't argue. You're not going to win. In order for us to have a good conversation with somebody that is meaningful and fruitful, we got to have something in common. But if you don't have anything with the person, so tell me, where in the Bible is that question coming from? Any belief about the Trinity must come from the Bible and the Bible alone. The Trinity is a doctrine that God has revealed to humankind through Scriptures. Again, putting the doctrine of the Trinity back into the Bible. And it comes to us as a revelation. The Trinity is not the result of human reasoning. Now, if I ask you, why is the Trinity not a result of human reasoning? Because I will immediately ask, can you explain with human reasoning the Trinity? The God is one God in three persons. Now, we also need to be careful that as Christians, we don't give nobody the impression that we know how to explain God. It will be arrogant. Nor we know how to explain the Trinity. That's not the point. The point to study the Trinity is not that we know how to explain the Trinity. The point about talking about the Trinity with somebody is to point them to the Bible, where we get the doctrine of the Trinity from. And that puts people face to face with the Word of the living God. That is always the way to go about any, not just the Trinity, any doctrine. We have to take people and put them face to face with the Bible. We always ask, what does the Bible say about that subject? And it is easy. Then it's not you, or you arguing with somebody, or you because you're smart. It's the Bible with the person. All you're doing is faithfully pointing somebody back to the Scriptures. The Bible teaches that there is one eternal God who is the creator and sustainer of the universe. That's undeniable. Nature, actually, from nature we can know what God is. You can read the book of Romans chapter 1, actually, and you will know just by reading Romans chapter 1 that nature tells you what God is. But the Bible tells you who God is. That's a different story. When anybody has a question of what, you take them to the Bible so they can know the who. And again, you put the person face to face with God. God is the only God that exists. One God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. These three persons are co-equal and co-eternal. They are also distinct and distinguishable from one another. If I can just show you what I mean by putting people face to face with the Bible. If I said, these three persons are co-equal and co-eternal, they are also distinct or distinguishable from one another. Check this out. Isaiah 48, verse 16. Just listen to it and watch this. Isaiah 48, 16. Come near to me. And that me in that verse is Jesus. I'll show you why. Come near to me. Hear this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, I was there. And now the Lord God and His Spirit have sent me. What do you have there? The Trinity. Somebody questions this. I don't believe in the Trinity because it's not in the Bible. What do you call this here? Certainly you have three persons here. And by the way, all these three persons were from the beginning there. So that's what I mean when I said putting the people face to face with the Bible. Because it is only the Bible. We don't take personal issue with somebody asking. It's okay when they ask, but we have to just be smart how we respond. These three distinct persons are the one God. Everything that is true about God is true about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Some important clarifications. God is one. You have the verses there. All of these verses came from your book anyway, so just so you remember that. God is one. The Trinity is not. Now, were you able to identify these things in your book? Tritheism. Did you find it? And were you able to see that? That's just. I think it's only touching three of those issues against the Trinity, or three of those arguments that people use against the Trinity. But there are so many more. But the book only touches on those three, and those are the three that I have. What is that? Well, this is the teaching that says that the Godhead is really three separate beings forming three separate gods. You have a conversation with a Mormon. Even though they don't say that this is what they believe, that's exactly how they describe their theology. Three separate gods. So the Trinity is not tritheism. The Trinity is not the next one. I'm gonna just give you three. You have those in your book. Now, how many of you have heard people trying to use the analogy of water when trying to explain the Trinity? Anybody heard that before? Okay, can I tell you that that's wrong? It's definitely wrong. People say, well, the Trinity is like water. Water, H2O. It exists in liquid and exists in solid and it exists in... That's not a good analogy for water. I mean, that's not a good analogy for the Trinity. And I'm going to explain why. Modalism, which is the one you have on the screen, is probably the most common theological error concerning the nature of God. And it is a denial of the Trinity. Why is that? Why do these people teach? What they teach is this. God at one point was the Father. Then He changed, and at another point He was the Son, and at another point He is the Holy Spirit. When you use the analogy of water, that's exactly modalism. Because if you have water that is a liquid and water that turns into gas, is the same water that changes from one condition to the other. You follow? Mm-hmm. But you cannot drink gas, can you? And so, if not, I mean, in an innocent form, we're actually telling people that God, at one point is one, and another point is, no, God is one, but three distinct, distinguishable persons. They all share the same nature. And so, it's not a good illustration. I'm just saying, the third one here, Arianism, this is one of the most difficult ones because a lot of groups out there use this as their theological doctrinal point, and yet some of them don't even know that they are falling into this form of heresy. It is a heresy, actually. Well, that was one of the most important items debated among the first, not the first century, but early in the fourth century of the church history. What is Arianism? It is the view that Jesus was created being with divine attributes, but was not divine in and of himself. And they use some verses to prove that according to their doctrinal viewpoints. They said, if Jesus is God, how is it that John 4 verse 6 says that Jesus was tired? If Jesus is God, Matthew 24, 36, how is it that Jesus did not know the day of his return? And they use those two verses to argue that, you know, Jesus is not God. Again, back to church history and all of that, the debate. One can easily identify these three heresies. It's only three of them here. Like I said, there's many, many, many more. But one can easily avoid that when we remember this. Even though the Bible does not give us the word Trinity, the Trinity of God is defined in the Bible by the use of plural pronouns. So it's there if we do the work. Why is that important? Well, here we have a verse that says that the Father is God. You're familiar with that verse. Here we have a verse that says that the Son is God. And here we have a verse that says that the Holy Spirit is God. So, if we have these verses and many more, that's just a couple of them, but that's one for each Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If that is true, the Holy Spirit is God, and it is true. If the Son is God and the Father is God, what do we have? Three gods? No. One God. Three distinct persons. Distinguishable? Of course. And so, that's a good way to talk to people about when talking about the Trinity. The whole purpose of this is to equip us so that we can give a good biblical not definition, but a biblical argument for what we believe. And it is the way to, again, put people face to face with the Bible. Does that make sense? The Trinity in the Bible, the triunity of God is declared in the Bible when each person is called God. We have some of that. How about some of the divine attributes? Well, we have some of those. The divine attributes are given to each person of the Godhead. Is the Father eternal? Yes, he is. Is the Son eternal? Yes, he is. Is the Holy Spirit eternal? Yes, he is. So attributes are given to each person of the Godhead. Divine attributes are given to each person of the Godhead. The Father is omniscient. Is the Son omniscient? Is the Spirit omniscient? Divine attributes given to each person of the Godhead. Is the Father omnipresent? Is the Son omnipresent? Is the Holy Spirit omnipresent? So, as you can see, the Trinity in the Bible is, the triunity of God is demonstrated in the Bible when each person exercises their power. Now, I just gave you, the Trinity is declared in the Bible when each person is called God. Now, as the Trinity is demonstrated in the Bible, you see those two things? You declare something that is biblical, and then you're able to demonstrate to the person from a biblical perspective what your argument is about the subject. The triunity of God is demonstrated in the Bible when each person exercises their power. What power are we talking about? Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. One can ask the person. Well, it says here, God, who was that? Was it the Father or the Son or the Holy Spirit? Obviously, we know that in the Hebrew, the word for God is what? Remember that in Genesis 1:1? In the beginning, God. What word is that for God there?
Elohim.
Elohim. And what is Elohim about?
Plurality.
The plurality of God. Obviously, we know that, but they don't. And so when you ask the person, well, the Bible says here at the beginning, God created the heavens. So who was that? Was it God the Father or the Spirit or the Son? You know, and there's opening the door for us to share with them. Was it the Father? John 1:3. All things were made through Him, Jesus. So here the Bible says that it was Jesus who created everything. And so you use those arguments. Another example of power, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. When you talk about the resurrection, who did it? Who did it? Was it the Father or the Son or the Holy Spirit? Well, the Bible says that all three of them did it. The resurrection power came from the Father. But then there's a verse that says that Jesus did it. And there's another verse that says that the Spirit did it. You see, what I'm trying to give you is the familiarity in your Bible with the subject of the Trinity. Though it is impossible to explain it, because how can we explain God? But nonetheless, we can, like I said, we can declare it from the Bible, and we can demonstrate it from the Bible. And if you take those verses, all of those verses came from your book. And I don't want to use the word, you become an expert, but you become familiar with them. And they will appreciate that you have taken the time to study and to actually find these things. So for the purpose of helping someone who perhaps never had the time to do these things. That's the whole purpose about studying these things and taking the time to go through this, is so that you can be familiar with that. So notice, I gave you the Trinity is declared, the Trinity is demonstrated. How about this? The Trinity in the Bible, the triunity of God is displayed in the Bible by the presence of each person in the believer. That's another thing. Isn't that beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
How is that display? How is that Trinity display in my brother Jeff here? Who is in him? Is Father or Son or Holy Spirit?
Yes.
That's a correct answer. The Trinity in the believer. And here you have a chapter in the Bible that uses all of that. It says the Father will be in you. And Jesus says He will be in you. And the Spirit says He will be in you. And so, again, I'm just using some of these verses here, some of these points here that I got from your book to kind of like encourage you to get familiar with it. I know it's intimidating sometimes when people say, like, what about the Trinity? Can you show me the Trinity? Show me the word Trinity. Now I will believe. Well, I'm going to do more than just show you the Trinity. I'm going to declare what the Bible says about the Trinity. And then I'm going to demonstrate what the Bible says about the Trinity. And I'm going to put in display what the Bible says about the Trinity. But you're going to allow me to pray for you at the end so that you will, you know, trust the Lord to open your eyes to see. That makes sense? Where did I go? I think I skipped a lot of them. Did I give you that? Define? Okay. I didn't give you this. Right? There is unity among them, the three persons of the Trinity. And you're familiar with this. This is also in your book. Now, that's a good thing to remember, to explain uniqueness and unity. One God. This is where it says God is. The Son is God. The Spirit is God. The Father is God. But the Father is not the Spirit. The Spirit is not the Son. The Son is not the Father. And so that diagram is actually in your book. I give you that, yeah? The Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God, the Trinity in the Bible. That I give you that too, yeah?
Yeah.
I think I'm done. Aren't you like that? I'm done in 10 minutes. I can get out of the way. Divine attributes, did I give you that too? I skip. I mean, Pastor Steve make these technological things so nice and good, but I'm not up to that stuff. So, did I give you that one? Okay. So I think we're done. Power to create. Do they all three have the power to create? Well, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. John 1:3, all things were made through Him. And Job 33:4, the Spirit of God has made me. All three have the power to create. I think I gave you that one. But this is the one just before the last one. The Trinity in the Bible, the triunity of God is designed to reveal the spiritual unity of believers. When we talk about one body, one family, one church, universal, it all comes from the Trinity, whether we want to see it or not. We are one in the Spirit because the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all three of them abiding in us. And that's a beautiful thing. The last one here is just Jesus' prayer for us. I pray that they might be one as we are one. If this is Jesus' prayer for us, it is important for us to remember. What do we get out of that? Well, one commits the time to study these things, these subjects in the Bible, and to spend the time as much as we can to go through these things with the intention of finding a proper application of that. If there is unity, and I show you the graphic, if there is unity among the three persons of the Trinity, it's for the intention of teaching us. And like Jesus prays here, I pray that they might be one as we are one. The reason we are one is because we all have God's life in us. And that's the church. And that's the body of Jesus Christ. So, again, briefly, take in what's in your book and put it in this format for the purpose of, you know, facilitating this thing so that we can have kind of like a good understanding. What's the issue with other groups? There's a group that is called Oneness Pentecostal. Have you heard about them? They came out of the Pentecostal church, but don't get confused because I said Pentecostal, but the name is Oneness Pentecostal, meaning there's only one God. That's what they believe. And they have all kinds of misconceptions and misunderstandings about this thing. You will know immediately when you talk to them about baptism, for example. And they said, oh, we don't believe that. We don't do that. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we don't do that. Why? They said, because there's only one God. But the question is, which one? And they will say, just one God. Yeah, I know, but which one? Because my Bible says Jesus is God, and the Spirit is God, and the Father is God. So which one is the one God that you believe in? Yes, Jeff.
Do they use the Bible as the basis for their teaching then?
That's the point. Again, back to the first one. That one. That's probably one of the main ones that you want to remember. No, they don't. Because if they were to use the Bible as we know it, they will find immediately their error, right?
Yeah.
No, they don't. What they do is they take, whether it's Arianism, whether it's Tritheism, or any other form, they take that and they form their own doctrinal point of view or their doctrinal declaration of faith. Obviously, it's not the Bible. If they use the Bible will rebuke them immediately. So no, they don't. Jehovah's Witnesses, do they think Jesus is God? No. Why? They have their own version of the Bible. The Mormons believe that Jesus is God? No. And when they do believe that Jesus is God, he says he is one of many. They don't believe in three gods. They believe in many gods. They actually believe that every person has the potential to become a god in a whatever universe they find themselves to be so many years from. And so that, again, this is the one that I believe is one of the main ones to remember. The Trinity is a doctrine that God has revealed to us through the Scriptures. And the purpose of that was to get you familiar with the Scriptures so you can say, can I explain the Trinity to you? No, but can we find it in the Bible? Oh, absolutely. And that's the best way to go about that. Amen? All right, now my friend here is going to finish this, and I think you get to go home early today. Super early? Yeah, he told me, like, you're going to take most of my time. Now I'm done, so he's not going to blame it on me.
I'm assuming most of you guys probably want some of those PowerPoints. So what we'll do is we'll just save it as a PDF, and we're going to put some of this stuff on our website. We have the recordings. So if anybody wants to get it, but we'll have a PDF of the Trinity portion of it on there. I think it will be helpful if anybody wants to dig it up. All that was in not just the book, but also the syllabus. I think what I'm going over in the syllabus, Pastor Burt's already covered. well, that's okay. Yeah,
that's right.
All right. And actually, one of the things that Pastor Burt mentioned in our syllabus, it talks about in our syllabus, is about water. So water actually can have the three in one, and it's actually there's a certain point. It's called the triple point, and it occurs at 273.16 Kelvin and a vapor pressure of 611.657 pascals. And that's where each one of those three are one. So it's only very specific point, but yeah, it is in our, I had to say that because it is in our syllabus that it says, says that there is, but we know truly our God is an amazing God. So I'm just going to kind of recap a few of the things that are in the syllabus briefly, recap some of the things that Pastor Burt mentioned, but just going to buzz through some of these. It says, Luther on the Trinity, the only true God is the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three distinct persons in one divine being or essence. And then Ron Rose, he said, within the unity of the one Godhead, there are three persons, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and each of the three are co-equal and co-eternal. And Jesus is called the Son over 200 times in the New Testament. Jesus considers the Father to become someone distinct from himself over 200 times in the New Testament. And over 50 times, the Father and Son are seen to be distinct within the same verse. And there's all the verses are in the syllabus supporting that. And then 1 John 5:20 says, "And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true and eternal life." Okay, and Pastor Burt went over some of these things as well, but we're going to go through them here in the syllabus, page 37. What the Trinity is not. And all these have already been touched on, but we know that it's not three separate gods. It's not three separate gods. And it's not three equal parts of a substance. The Father is completely God. The Son's completely God, and the Holy Spirit is completely God. And you can't have more of God if you have the Father and the Son, but not the Spirit. The Trinity is not, Christ is not subordinate to the Father by nature. Neither is the Spirit. The Father did not will the Son into existence. He's eternally begotten. And Christ is not a created being. And there's the example that the first created of all creation. He was. He is. And then what the Trinity is. There's one God. Does anybody want to read Deuteronomy 6:4? Deuteronomy 6:4. You're next.
Go ahead. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one.
Amen. And the Father is God. Can you read 2 Peter 1:17? And the Son is God. Somebody want to read Exodus 3:11-14? Anyone?
I'll read it.
Okay.
And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with you, and this shall be a token unto you that I have sent you. When you have brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, You shall say unto the children of Israel, I am.
And then John dovetails with that, 8:56-59. If somebody wants to read John 8:56-59. Amen. And then finally, the Holy Spirit is God. Acts 5:3-4 says, But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. And further says what the Trinity is. There are three distinct persons. The birth of Christ, and it has some verses associated with these. You can read these; they're in your books there. The baptism of Jesus and the coming of the Holy Spirit. And on page 39. Again, Pastor Burt covered these, the top there. The ancient modern heretical views about God. And it spells out what the error is, one God, no Trinity, and that's the modalism. That's what the ancient was called, and now it's the apostolics. And modalism, it denies the distinctiveness of the three persons of the Trinity, holds that there's different modes or forms of activity. One God and no Trinity. And secondly, the error is Jesus is a created being, and the ancient views on that, it was Arianism, and the Jehovah's Witnesses adhere to that now. Mm-hmm. Pastor Bird had mentioned that as well. And then thirdly, the three gods or more is tritheism. And the Mormons. Mormons are a good example of that. Three gods or more. And the names of God, Pastor Burke kind of touched on some of these things, Elohim being plural. And it just shows that there's over 2,000 times in the Bible. I think it's like 2,500 times in the Bible. Plural for emphasis of majesty, translated God. And then it shares some of those names, El Shaddai, Almighty God, El Elyon, the Most High God, El Olam, the Everlasting God. And I always think of El Roy, the God who saves. And Adonai is Lord or Master, which is many times in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament with Yahweh. Lord of all is a good way to understand that word, Adonai. And all this, again, is also found in basic theology book. Elohim is pages 51 and 52. Yahweh, Jehovah, is pages 53 to 54, and it's over 5,300 times in the Old Testament. And Jehovah Jireh, Yahweh Jireh, God will provide. And there's scriptures up there that are associated with all of these. Jehovah Nisi, or Yahweh Nisi, our banner. Jehovah Shalom, our God is peace. Yahweh Sabbath is the God of hosts. And Yahweh Sikkenu, He is our righteousness. Go back. Yeah. Still writing? No? Yeah? No? Nope. Okay. And the works of God here. And Pastor Bert touched on these as well. Creation. Does anybody want to read Colossians 1:16? Colossians 1:16. Anyone? You're on.
For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him.
Amen. Amen. And the next one is preservation. And that's that sustaining existence of all created things. And since you're in that scripture, read the next verse, 17.
And he is before all things, and in him all things consist.
So he created, and in him all things consist. That sustaining. And then providence, sovereign. Ephesians, I'll read this one. Ephesians 1:11 says, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. His work of providence encompasses his holy, wise, and powerful preservation and governing of all his creatures and their actions, ultimately for his glory. And that is sandwiched in between the next one, salvation. And that also is from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. And then verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And verse 13, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And I think of Pastor Bert's been hammering that in here. What do we need to do? It's one thing. We need to believe. We need to believe. We need to believe. And with that, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So as Pastor Bert mentioned, most of all of what's in the syllabus is in the book. What he put up on the screens in the book, but it's just a reminder of the Trinity, also of the works of God, who He is, the names of God, and just the Spirit of God. Also, what, as we saw earlier, what the Trinity is not. A lot of religions point to what the Trinity is not, or they try and trip us up and try to take us away from what the Bible teaches. And as Pastor Bert mentioned, we got to just continue to go back to the Bible. What is the Bible teaching us? What's the Bible saying? If somebody is pointing these things out and they're not using the Bible, they're just trying to trip us up. I just want to encourage each one of us as we're reading through the basic theology book. And this, as Pastor Bert always mentions, he's like, this isn't what I'm saying. This isn't what necessarily the book's saying. It's what the Bible says. And we need to go back to what the Bible says. And we need to be responsive to what the Bible's telling us. And as the Bible's confirming these things in our heart, even with the book, as we're reading through that, as we're looking at the scriptures, those things are just getting confirmed in our hearts that, you know what? Okay. And if you have, if we, there's any questions that we have, where do we go? We go back to the Bible. Go back to the Bible. And I think the Bible's clear on these things. However, sometimes we just need the Holy Spirit to reveal that to us, you know. And that's the beauty of us going studying the Word of God, is as we're reading the Word of God, the Holy Spirit reveals these things to us and shows us the truth of God's Word. All right. We're going to get out a little bit early, unless Pastor... The next pages. It's a good question. So the next 2 weeks is going to be pages 237 to 316. And let me see. 273. Dyslexia just sets in when you're in front of people. So next week we're going to, in the syllabus, we're going to go down to the virgin birth of Christ. So the historicity of Christ, pre-incarnate Christ, the incarnation of Christ, and the virgin birth. So the first four. So I don't know what is associated in the book with those first four. I didn't look at that. So read the pages that kind of correspond to the syllabus for next week. Within, or read all the way from 273 to 316, and then read it again the next time, and get double the blessing. Bert, you want to come up? Pastor Bert, you want to come up here for Q&A? You can close us.
No, but I hope you don't have any questions.
But I do want to encourage all of us to really take the time, you know, to enjoy this. I mean, you already made the effort to spend 4 weeks here, and I don't know if we're getting a whole bunch of it, but even if it's just a very minimum that we are all getting, we're better off now than we were 5 weeks ago. If this is only refreshing something that we already knew clearly, praise the Lord. If this is exposing us to something new that we haven't really, maybe we heard a little bit about that, but we never had the time to go in, praise the Lord. It's already a win-win situation. So all I want to say is to encourage you. You know, Christianity is not about having all the answers to all the questions that people have. Christianity is about one answer. And the answer to all of our questions is Jesus. And the more we know Him, the stronger we will be when the difficulties, the tornadoes, and all of those things that hit us flat in the face, because we know Him, and we are in Him, and we have His promise. I love the Bible because the Bible is about a God who is faithful to His promise. Even though I'm not faithful in my performance, that doesn't matter. His promise remains for all eternity, and we're in good hands. We are indeed in good hands, not like, what is the insurance company that said you're in good hands? They're gone, huh? they're not even in good hands because they're gone. But we are in good hands because we are in His hands. Amen? So, you guys are doing great. We are going to give you a little certificate to say that you finished this. And we're going to have a good celebration when we finish. Well, I don't know what we're going to have. Maybe coffee and donuts or something like that. But above all things, seriously, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you for making the effort. Thank you for taking the time. I mean, I see young people here. It really touches my heart, to tell you the truth. Because, I don't know, 20 years from now, if we're not here, they will be here. And they will forever remember that, hey, there was a day when our pastors put a little something on theology that helped us to know Jesus and to walk faithfully with Him. I see these girls here. I see young people back there. If that's all we're going to get out of it, it's worth it. You know, we can do this again and again and again because we're putting our hope in Him to be able to take the next generation. I'm always all about the next generation, that we are faithful to give them a commitment that they will say, you know what, we came from a church that was really committed to the Word. Do we know everything? No, we don't. But do we want to know Him more and more? Absolutely. And that is what really matters. Amen? So with all of that, let's have a word of prayer. And thank you again. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you so much for your faithfulness. God, that you will call us here, that you will bring us here on a Sunday evening. You will even give us a desire to set apart 7 weeks to gather together, to go through a book with the intention of knowing you more so that we can love you deeper. Father, thank you for the man that you used to put these books together. Thank you for Mr. Ryrie taking the time, maybe over the years, to put something like this. Little did he knew that years after, he's with you in heaven, that we will be here going through his book, learning about you. But we are really learning from the Bible, from your word, because it is the living word, and we thank you for that. Thank you for your people. Thank you for this church. And thank you, Lord, for giving us a desire to be biblical. Be with all of these families here. We pray for the young people here in this group. We pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that they will be men and women filled with your Spirit, passionate about your word, and that they will continue, just as we receive from others, that they will also continue in the same pattern, walking with Jesus, trusting in your word, being led by your Spirit. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for everything you do for us. In the wonderful, powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you, friends. You're amazing. What can I say?